Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Lamed Gimel. We are holding on Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. We're going to start about 12 lines from the end of the page at Tanu Rabbanon Kriya Shema Kiksava. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom. It's also sponsored by Avishai Neli Sheva Newman, in honor of all of the members of our shul, and it's also sponsored by Daniel Goldstein, in memory of his father, Ivan Goldstein, Yitzchak Leib Ben Mordechai Alevi, on his 8th yard site, which is today. The Neshama Shreven Aliyah, he was quite the Jewish hero, and we thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first we're going to bring the Machlokas Tanayim, where the Kriya Shema can be said in any language or needs to be said Dafka B'Lashon HaKodesh, and we're going to discuss how each Tana utilizes the Pasuk that's brought by the other Tana to prove their point, and then the Gemara is going to discuss under which circumstances where a Tefillah can be said B'Chal Lashon. When are you allowed to daven b'chal lashon, and whether lashon arami is different than any other lashonos? What are the attitudes of the malachim toward lashon arami? The Gemara is then just going to finish up all of the different items that we listed of things that could be said in any language, and it's going to bring the sources for them, for birchas hamazon and shavuos ha'edus and shavuos ha'pikadon. How do I know that those items can be said b'chal lashon? Then the Gemara is going to get into the things that the Mishnah said have to be recited b'lashon Kodesh, and it's going to bring the sources for those things that have to be said specifically b'lashon HaKodesh. The Gemara is going to have machlokas on Amud Beis about the location of Har Grizim and Har Eval, because the Mishnah took a stand on that. The Mishnah described carefully about the brachas and klalos, Har Grizim, Har Eval, and part of that was the description of the location of Har Grizim, Har Eval. So we're going to have machlokas tanayim, and each Tana is going to try to fit into the psukim their opinion, because they're quite distant from each other. Then the Gemara is going to go through the details at the end of the daf and going into tomorrow's daf of how we crossed the Yarden, how we were led by the Aron even though normally the Aron didn't travel in front of the camp, and how the Kohanim were carrying the Aron even though typically Kohanim were not the ones that were carrying the Aron. This was one of only three occasions where Kohanim were carrying the Aron, and then in tomorrow's daf it's going to go through how the Yarden split and how the water went up and all of those details. So let's begin Tanur Rabban, about 12 lines from the end of the page on daf lam beis on beis. So Tanur Rabban Kriya Shema Kiksava. One is supposed to recite Kriya Shema the very way it was written at Har Sinai, meaning B'Lashon HaKodesh, and not in any other language. Divrei Rabbi. V'cham Momrim B'Kal Lashon. L'cham say, no, whatever language you understand, that's the language you recite Kriya Shema. My time with Rabbi. Why does Rabbi think that one cannot be Yotze Kriya Shema B'Kal Lashon? Because Amakra, the Pasuk says in the Parash of Shema, V'hayu, it says, V'hayu Advar Me Lashon L'chim Savchayom Al V'vecha. So Idarshan V'hayu means, B'Hav Yasan Yuhu, that you're supposed to say Kriya Shema the very way that it was given at Matan Torah, which is in Lashon HaKodesh. For Rabbanan and the Rabbanan who say that it could be said in any language, where do they derive that from? Amar Kra, Shema, it says Shema Yisrael. So B'kal Lashon Shata Shemea, we figure that the word Shema means in whatever language you are Shemea, whatever language you understand. Sometimes Shemea means to audibly hear something, and sometimes Shemea means to derer, to really, to internalize, to be able to understand something. So Kalashon Shata Shemea means whatever language a person is able to understand. Okay, so what does each Tana do with the other one's Pasuk? V'Rabbana Nami Haksiv V'Hayu. What did the Rabbana do with the word V'Hayu if they're going to argue that it's B'Kalashon Shata Shemea? Sahu Shlo Yekren El Mafreya. V'Hayu means that you have to read it in the proper order, that you're not allowed to read it backwards or out of order, in a different order then it was given at Har Sinai, but you can do it in whatever language you want. And Rebbe, who uses Vayu to teach me about the language with which Shema needs to be recited, how does Rebbe know that the order that Shema needs to be recited in? So Nafkalei Midvarim Hadvarim. He derives the extra hey in the word Hadvarim, because the pasuk could have just said Vahayu Dvarim. Why does it say Hadvarim? To tell me that you need to read it Kesidran. You're not allowed to read it Limafreya. V'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan who don't make that drasha, Dvarim, because they already know they're not allowed to read it Limafreya from Vahayu, Dvarim Hadvarim Lo Mashvelu. They don't think that there is any makom to darshan from the extra hey, and therefore they stick with the drasha from Vahayu. Rabbi Nami Yaksiv Shema. What does Rabbi do with the drasha of the Chachamim that Shema means b'kaloshon shato shemea? If Rabbi insists that it's got to only be b'loshon hakodesh, he uses the word Shema to teach me that one needs to audibly recite Shema. That he has to say Shema loud enough that he's able to hear himself say it. V'rabbanan, the Rabbanan who do not use that the word Shema to teach me that it needs to be audible. Sabi lo command yomar kari Shema v'lishmi alaz no yatsa. They hold that you yotze without being mashmi alaz no. So that's why they don't make such a drasha from Shema. So says the Gemara. Wait a second. Based on Rebbe and the Chachamim each needing a pasuk to back up their opinion about saying Shema lema kasava Rebbe. Maybe this should be an indication to us that more broadly and more generally Rebbe holds that kol haTorah b'chaloshon emra, that the entirety of Torah is b'chaloshon, because all the entirety of Torah, the way Rashi understands it, means all the kriyos that we read in the Beis HaKnesses from a Sefer Torah, that it could be b'chaloshon, that it doesn't have to dafka be b'loshon hakodesh. Because if you can say that kriyos haTorah in general is b'loshon hakodesh, why do I need a pasuk vayu to tell me that kriyashma has to be b'loshon hakodesh if every kriya of everything needs to be b'loshon hakodesh? So it must be that the default position is that things can be done b'chal lashon, and I need vayu to tell me that kriyashma is the exception, that kriyashma needs to be b'loshon hakodesh. Like I said, Rashi understands that kol haTorah b'chal lashon emra is about reading it b'beis haKnesses b'chal lashon. Tosfos in Megillah and Daf Yud Zayin and Beis asks the kasha that kriyas haTorah is only midrabanan. So it's hard to imagine that we're talking about, meaning we're figuring out how to darshan psukim, that it's going to be based on a din midrabanan. So Tosfos says, no, it means those kriyos that are daoraisa, like chalitza and vidvei maaser, right? All the things that we were speaking about in our Mishnah, that sometimes there are sections of the Torah that it's a kiyum of another mitzvah to read those sections of the Torah. That's what it means, kol haTorah b'chol lashon emra. Not kol haTorah. It means wherever you have something in the Torah that's supposed to be recited. So says the Gemara, anyway, the Gemara's point is that Rebbe must be assuming that the default is that kol haTorah is b'chol lashon, and that's why you needed a drasha, that kriyashma is an exception. So says the Gemara, no, itzrich. Maybe kriyashma is not an exception, and the whole Torah could only be b'lashon hakodesh, and I still need a special drasha for Kriya Shema, because there's a counter indicator when it comes to Kriya Shema. Meaning, normally, in a chinami, of course, everything is b'lashon hakodesh, but since by Kriya Shema it says Shema, and one might make the mistake of thinking Shema means b'kol lashon shato shemeya, I need vahayu to counter that, and to tell me that no, Kriya Shema is just like the rest of kol haTorah kula, that it needs to be b'lashon hakodesh. So it says, maybe the Rabban know that kol haTorah kula is in lashon hakodesh because if you're going to tell me that the entirety of Torah, that everywhere else in the Torah could also be said in other languages, Shema dekas rachman alamli, why do I need a special drasha from Shema to tell me b'kol lashon shato shemea? That should be the default. Elamai, it must be that in the default position in the rest of kol haTorah kula is that it's got to be lashon hakodesh, and that Shema is the exception. So it says more, no, it's trich. Shema is not the exception. The whole Torah could be b'kol lashon. Why do I need a special drasha by Shema to tell me b'kol lashon shato shmea? Mishum d'chsev vahayu, because there's a counter indicator. Because there's the word vahayu, and vahayu implies b'avyasanu, that it needs to be in exactly the way it was given at Har Sinai in lashon hakodesh. So in order to counter that potential way of reading vahayu, the Torah had to say Shema to teach me that just like the rest of Torah, it's b'kol lashon sha'ata shomea. The Tosfos in the beginning of the parak points out that you can't say that the Torah needed to write Shema to tell me that someone who's korea Shema b'shar lashonos has to understand what he's saying. Meaning Tosfos points out that you do need to understand what he's saying, even if you hold that it has to be b'kol lashon. Yet you at least need to understand that lashon. That's why Tosfos had a girsa b'lashonam, right? That it has to be said said in the language that you speak. So Maram Bennett points out that you can't say, and that's what I'm learning from Shema. Right? It can't be that the Rabbanan are going to argue that Shema means that Vayu means it's got to be that Shema means that it has to be in whatever language I understand that meaning when the Gemara asks if the whole Torah is B'lashon Kodesh. That if the whole Torah is B'kol Lashon, why do I need a special drasha of Shema B'kol Lashon Shata Shemea, according to the Rabbanan? So Maran Bennett says, well, maybe the answer is that the whole Torah is B'kol Lashon, but I need a special drasha to tell me that you need to actually understand the language that you're speaking. So he says, no, it's too obvious. That's not something you would need a drasha for. Clearly, whenever you're reciting something, the point of a recitation is to understand that which you are reciting. And therefore, it's obvious that you cannot say it in a language that that you do not understand. Okay, so now we move on. The Mishnah said tefillah, that tefillah could be said in any which language. So says the Gemara, how do I know that that's true? What's the reason that tefillah could be said in any language? Rachmihi, because tefillah is primarily about asking for God's mercy. Kalech debayimatzli. So in any way that you're able to reach out to the Ribbono Shel Olam and ask for his mercy, so it's a davar pashut that you're able to do that. Whatever's going to be ma'orer your kavana, you don't need a raya from a pasuk that's okay. And the Iyun Yaakov, he points out that it's beyond that. The Gemara in Tainus tells us that tefillah is avodah shebelev, rachmana liba ba'i. And a person who doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh and Davins, he's not going to have kavana salev. The whole purpose of tefillah is kavana salev. A tefillah without kavana is a guf b'li neshama. There is no, there's nothing there. There's no life to such a tefillah. The whole point of the tefillah is kavana salev. So it stands to reason very logically that if a person doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh, of course he's going to daven in a language that he understands. Utfilah b'kol lashon, says Gemara, but is that really true that you can daven in whatever language? V'ha'amar Rav Yehuda la'olam al yishal adam tzrach b'lashon aramis. Person's not supposed to daven in Lashon Aramis, because I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Kalashol, Tzrach, B'Lashon Arami, Ein Malach Yesharis, Niskakin Lo, that if a person daven in Lashon Arami, the Malach Yesharis are not going to help him out and bring his tefillah, Takarish Baruch Hu, Fisha, Ein Malach Yesharis, Makirin, B'Lashon Arami, because the Malach Yesharis do not understand Lashon Arami. So how could our Mishnah say that you could daven B'Kal Lashon? So says Gemara, Lokasha, Habi Yachid, Habi Tzibur. The Gemara does not distinguish between Lashon Arami and other languages. It just says that when Rav Yehuda says that a person should not speak Lashon Arami, that's if a person is davening biyachidus, where you need the help of the malachim. So don't daven in Lashon Arami, where the malachim are not going to be willing to help you out. In Lashon Arami, where they don't understand Lashon Arami, daven in Hebrew dafka. But habetzibur, when the Mishnah says that tefillah could be said b'chal lashon, it's omer tzibur that's mispalel that you could daven b'chal lashon, where they don't need the aid of the malachim. So the idea that ein malachim sharis makirin b'lashon Arami, so we said that means they're ein mevinim b'lashon Arami. That's how Rashi seems to understand. That's what Tosfos Shantz writes as well. However, Tosfos Rush writes in Nimra Benatam that Malachi Asharis, they understand every language. They even understand Machshavos Shebelevish, right? That's what Tosfos asks in Masach HaShabbos. How can you say Malachi Asharis don't speak Lashon Arami? I feel Machshavos Shebelevish in Yodim. They even know what's going on inside a person's heart. So language is just an expression of that which is going on in your mind and your heart. So obviously, if they could read inside of you, they obviously can understand the words that are coming out as a result of that. It's a big question in the Achronim. Where did the Balei HaTosfos get that from? Who said that Malachi Asharis are able to read our minds? Meaning, there's no Maimer Chazal that tells us that the Malachi Asharis are able to read our minds. So the Achronim work on that. They try to figure out if there's a basis for that assumption of Tosfos, if that assumption of Tosfos is correct, where Tosfos got that from. But anyway, that's what the Tosfos HaRosh points out over here as well, in the name of Rabbein Tam, that of course they understand Lashon Arami, and that's what the Rosh writes as well. Lashon Arami is just meguna in their eyes. They don't like Lashon Arami. It's considered to be a second-rate language. And the Madani Yom Tov explains, because it's so karov to Lashon HaKodesh, that it's like a corruption of Lashon HaKodesh. Meaning, if a person speaks a language, to learn a new language is very exciting. It's different. It's something new. But a corruption of their own language, some sort of slang that corrupts their own language, they find it distasteful. They want to speak the language in the most pristine form. So the Malachi Asher Sharis do not appreciate Lashon Arami. Now, according to the Rush, that the Gemara Dafka says Lashon Aramis. That's what's Maguna Be'enei Amalachim. But other languages, you should be allowed to daven even be Yechidus, right? Meaning this distinction the Gemara is making, that Lashon Arami, when you don't need the Malachim, you can daven B'tzibur. Be Yechidus, don't do Lashon Arami, because the Malachim aren't going to be interested in helping you. But if you say like the Rush, that the Malachim only don't like Lashon Arami, but other languages they don't have a problem with, you should be allowed to daven b'yichidus in other languages. If you hold that there's no chilik between Lashon Arami and other Lashonos, the reason the Gemara Dafka chooses Lashon Arami is to be mechadesh that even Lashon Arami, which was, the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, was nitna misinai, that even that doesn't work. That's how the Marsha understands. So there are two tracks of how to read our Gemara, that either Lashon Arami is singled out because it's the only unique one that cannot be used for certain tefillos, or Lashon Arami is even Lashon Arami, you're not allowed to daven be yechidus. But for sure, other Lashonos, you wouldn't be allowed to daven be yechidus. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not moes b'tfilos and shel rabin, that when that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not reject the tfilos of the rabin. So it sounds like the tfilos of the rabin, even if it doesn't meet the normal protocol, so it could be in other languages, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will still accept such a tfilos. The Batei Kuhuna writes that the Malachim are machnis are tfilos me'achari apargot, and they serve as a melitz for those tfilos. So Tzibur doesn't need melitzim because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not moes b'tfilos harabim, and that's why we don't have to worry about the Malachim when it comes to that. So in the Orchos Chaim Hilchos Kriyashmanos Yites, he says Rabbi Yochanan does not mean to say that when a person davens, he should have in mind to be shalal tzrachav from a malach to bring his tefila. His kavana should be to be mechavin b'tefila, a direct kavana to remove anything from his heart that's going to separate between him and Kadosh Baruch Hu. And because Lashon Arami is Lashon Zar, and it's not something that people are fluent in as much, right? People trip over Brich Shmei, right? It's not something that people are as fluent in when it comes to Lashon Arami. People tend to get confused by it, and therefore it's not, the kavana is hard to come by in Lashon Arami. And the good kochos of the nefesh is what we mean when we say Malachi Asharis. Wow. So the Orchos Chaim says, it's not Malachi Asharis, it's not like someone else outside of ourselves. Malachi Asharis means the very best part of ourselves. And in order to present the very best part of ourselves, like Kadosh Baruch Hu, we should do so in Hebrew rather than in Lashon Arami. Because Lashon Arami is confusing, it's difficult to say the words, and therefore it should dafka be in Hebrew. That's the chiddush of the Orchos Chaim. Now what emerges from the sugya is pretty clear that if a person is davening b'tzibur, there's no problem with davening in other languages, with davening in even in Lashon Arami, or maybe Lashon Arami just like any other language, whatever it is, but whether Lashon Arami is different than the other languages or not, it seems clear according to everybody that all other languages are okay when it's done b'tzibur. So how come we don't do that? How come we don't find any shul that just offers their prayers, that daven Shmoneh Esrei or Chazar Sashatz? Maybe Chazar Sashatz would be more interesting if maybe people would pay more attention. Maybe you would have what the Shulchan Aruch requires of 9 people paying attention to Chazar Sashatz in every shul if it was in a language that everybody understand and it didn't require the mental effort to translate it. Why don't we have this at all, right? La Halacha, it's pretty clear. So in my first sefer I wrote about this, and I have 3 different explanations in the Achronim as to why it is that we don't daven b'chalashon. First is what the Mishabura quotes in the name of the Chassam Sofer that we mentioned yesterday. The Chassam Sofer in Tshuvas in Aruch Chaim Sim Pei Dal and Sim Pei Vav brings many rayos that which we are allowed to daven b'lashon Arami is only b'akray, but b'kvius, b'tmidus, absolutely not. And he says, especially nowadays when with the reform and everything else that's trying to change parts of our religion, it's a very, very terrible idea. Similarly, although perhaps a little bit differently, the Sri Dei Eish in Chelek Aleph, Simen Ches, was asked by someone who was dealing, I guess, with people who did not speak Hebrew, and it would be to their benefit to be able to have tefillah b'chal lashon. and it's clear in halacha that it's mutter. So Sri Deish writes, "Ulam boruli kashemesh shacharedim yisnagdu lo viotziu alav kol shuhum in amasaknim chas v'shalom." He says, "The charedim are going to drive you nuts. It's never going to work. They're going to say bad things about you. V'yimtu anashim balikina, and there are going to be all sorts of kanoim shimtu makam l'skader viotziu lasberinun. They're going to put kolkores about you. Shebeis haknesh shalom espalim blashon anglit. They're going to say, oh, in your shul they daven in English." Why poke the bear, right? Why get involved in that? That's what so you can read that like Chassam Sofer, that you shouldn't be like a reformer, or don't be someone who's going to get everybody else all riled up, even though there's nothing wrong with it. Another reason is that it's quoted in the Bir Halacha, is that from the Sefer Hasidim, is that it's true, you're Yotzei the mitzvah of tefillah in other languages, technically, but there is a certain koach, to Lashon HaKodesh. So you're doing the second-rate tefillah. So you want to be able to tap into the highest level of tefillah. And the highest level of tefillah is always going to be in Lashon HaKodesh. And the third reason is the Tshuva Me'ava has a very practical reason. Chelek Beis in Reish Chav Gimel, he says, people travel. So you're going to go, you'll be in Europe, and you'll walk into a shul. You'll have no idea what's going on. They're davening in French. You don't speak a word of French. Right? So people travel from place to place. There's that one thing that unifies us, that you know, you can walk into a shul and you can open up a siddur and you could daven with everybody else. So from a practical perspective, it makes a lot of sense that shul should only daven b'lashon hakodesh. So anyway, ask the Gemara, but is this true? Is this klal true that Malachi Asharis don't speak Lashon Arami? Ve'in Malachi Asharis makirim b'lashon Arami? V'atanya, but I'll quote you a braisa. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Shabbat Baskol, mi beis kodesh hakodeshim, shu omer. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, when he went in for the Avodas Yom HaKippurim to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he heard a baskol saying, "Nitzchu talya da'ozlu la'agnacha l'krova la'antuchya," that the Pirchei Kuhuna, who went to fight against the Greeks in the city of Antuchia, were successful. They had to fight on Yom Kippur, and he heard the baskol coming out on Yom Kippur that they were successful. V'shuv ma'yishu b'shimun atzadik sh'sham ha'baskol, shimun atzadik heard a baskol mi'bez Kodesh HaKadoshim shu'a omer, b'teila saviditu da'omer s'no'o la'aytoa Alechola, that the plan of the enemies that wanted to fight and bring soldiers to Yerushalayim to have a battle and to enter into the Beis Hamikdash has been nisbatel v'nerag iskalgas ubatul gzerosav, and the Greek king was killed, and his gzeros, where he wanted to put a tzelem of himself, of his own demus, in the heichal, has been foiled. V'kosvu osashah, and they wrote down the exact moment that they heard the baskol, after Yom Kippur probably. They waited until after Yom Kippur. I mean, they looked at the watch. And then after Yom Kippur, they wrote down the exact moment that they heard the baskol, v'kivnu, and it turned out that at that very moment, the Chashmonaim defeated the Yavanim, and the Melech Yavan was killed. So the Brisa says, b'lashon Arami, haya omer, that both of those statements were b'lashon Arami, and a baskol came out b'lashon Arami. So apparently, Malachim speak l'shon Arami. So Iba Yisema baskol shayini, one possibility is, a baskol is different to Lashmuya Avida, because the whole tafkid of a baskol is to let things be known. So whatever language people speak, the baskol has to say it in. Or the other possibility is that the Gavriel Hava, that the Malach that speaks in the form of baskol is Gavriel, the Marba Gavriel, the Limdo Shivim Lashon. That Gavriel is the one that taught Yosef Atzadik 70 languages, but other Malachim do not speak in Lashon Arabis. Pri Chadosh points out that the first teretz of the Gemara is that Malachim Taka don't speak Lashon Aramis, that a baskol is not a malach. The baskol speaks in Lashon Aramis. That's what Sfasemis writes in Masechet Shabbos, that these two terutzim in the Gemara are arguing whether Malachi Asharis understand Lashon Arami. The two Shitos and Rishonim, we said before, is it that they don't understand Lashon Arami, or they understand it, they just don't like it because it's a corruption of Lashon HaKodesh? That's these two answers in the Gemara, that the first answer holds that Malachi Asharis don't know Lashon Arami at all, and therefore if there's Lashon Arami, it must not come from a Malach, it was just Baskol, and Baskol is different than a Malach. Or Melech HaYesharis do know Lashon Arami, and Gabriel had the job sometimes of teaching all the languages, including Lashon Arami. So while Malachim don't like Lashon Arami, Gabriel, every once in a while, had to utilize Lashon Arami. So Birkas HaMazon, or other Malachim maybe also knew Lashon Arami, certain that there are some Malachim at least that do. So Birkas HaMazon, now we said Birkas HaMazon could be said in any language. How do we know that? So the Torah never says a special language that you have to say it in. So we call Lashon Shatam Varech, whatever Lashon you want to be Mevarechin. Shavuos HaEdos, how do I know that could be said because Lashon? D'chsiv, v'nefesh kisechta v'shama kol Allah, and it goes on, v'edo ro, yodo, lo yagid v'nasa avono, that if someone was mashpia, a person that you better say that you have to take a shavua, that you don't know Edos about me in Beis Din, and the guy took the shavua, and then he violated the shavua, he didn't come to be made, and we darshan from the fact that it says, v'yishbi'ua b'shavuos ha'Allah, that it doesn't say v'yishbi'ua b'shavuos ha'Allah, it says v'shama, right? It says v'shama kol Allah, so b'kol Lashon Shishomas. We learn from there that it's got to be Kalashon Shishomas, that it could be Kalashon Shishomas, any language that you happen to understand. Shavuos HaPikadon, how do I know that could be in any language? Asya Techta Techta Mishavuos HaEdos, that it says by Shavuos HaPikadon, Nefesh Kisechta Umala Malba Hashem, Vikichish Bamiso Bipikadon, etc. And it says by Shavuos HaEdos, Vinefesh Kisechta Vishamakal Allah. And we just proved that by Shavuos HaEdos, it could be Kalashon Shatashomea, so Mele by Shavuos HaPikadon, it could also be Lashon Shata Shomea in whichever language. Good. Now we move on to the next category. Ve'ilu ne'marin b'lashon hakodesh. Now we move on to those items that need to be recited specifically in lashon hakodesh. Mikra bikurim v'chalitza. And the Mishnah goes ad mikra. It goes on to v'chulei until it explains the makoros of these dinim. Mikra bikurim ketzad, and it starts discussing the Mishnah. How do I know that mikra bikurim is b'lashon hakodesh? Va'anisa va'amartu l'fnei Hashem elokecha ula lanu omer vanu alvim va'omru el kalish Yisrael. So ma'aniya hamur la halon b'lashon hakodesh afkan b'lashon hakodesh. So the Gemara is going to explain the makor of that which the Mishnah says, that these things need to be said b'lashon hakodesh, right? So we said, oh, we learned it from the Levim. So frankly, Gemara Levim gufayu minolan. How do I know that the brachos and klolos by the Levim had to be b'lashon hakodesh? Asya kol kol mi Moshe. We learned that from a gzeirah shava of kol kol from the aseres hadibros that Moshe Rabbeinu brought us. Ksiv hacha. It says by the brachos and klolos kol ram uksiv hasam, and it says by the aseres hadibros Moshe yidaber ve'elukim yanenu bikol. So mala alon Lashon HaKodesh, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu the Aseres HaDibros in Lashon HaKodesh, so Afkan, so to the Brachos HaKlalos, B'Lashon HaKodesh are also recited B'Lashon HaKodesh. So we have this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan for the makar that Chalitza has to be said B'Lashon HaKodesh. The Rabbanan derived from Gzeirah Shavah from Brachos and Klalos. Rabbi Yehuda derives it from a pasuk by Chalitza itself, that it says Va'amra Kacha. So the Gemara is going to explain what each Tana learns from the pasuk that the other one brings. So Chalitza Ketzad, right? The Mishnah said, how do I know that Chalitza has to be said B'Lashon HaKodesh? Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan have from the Gzeirah Shavah from the Brachos HaKlalos. Rabbi Yehuda has it from Kacha. So says Gemara, V'Rabbanan, Hai Kacha Mayavdilei. What did the Rabbanan do with the word Kacha that Rabbi Yehuda uses to tell me that Chalitza needs to be B'Lashon HaKodesh? Mibaylu L'Dover Shu Maisa Ma'akev. He used the word kacha to tell me that all of the actions described in the chalitza ritual is ma'akev the chalitza. That the chalitza is no good if she does not remove the shoe of the yavam. Chalitza is no good if she does not spit in front of the yavam. All of the actions that that are described in the chumash are ma'akev when it comes to chalitza. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos writes that it's machlok sam seksi vamos whether the rekika is actually ma'akev. That according to Rabbi Eliezer, it is ma'akev because it's a ma'isa. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's not ma'akev because it's not a ma'isa beguf hayavam. Right? People often state it incorrectly. They say she spits on the yavam. No, she does not. She spits near the yavam. So it's not something that's done on the guf of the yavam. So that's why the sheet in Tanayim, sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that it's not ma'akev because only things that are a ma'isa on the guf hayavam are in fact ma'akev. This is not the first time we've mentioned the rekika of chalitza in this Masechta, right? We discussed back on Daf Tezvav the three different on Daf Tezayin or so, the three different things that need to be seen, right? The Afar Sota needs to be visible, the Afar Parah needs to be visible, and the Rok Hayavama needs to be visible. So we'll bring it up again over here, the idea of the Rikika. But anyway, that's what the Rabbanan used the word Kacha to teach, that those things are Ma'akiv, that certain elements of the Chalitza ritual are Ma'akiv. Rabbi Yehuda Miko Kacha. Rabbi Yehuda will say, yes, we do learn that from the word Kacha, but we also learn from the word Kacha that it's got to be B'Lashon HaKodesh, because you can make two drushes, because from the word Ko, and then from the extra Chaf, at the beginning of the word Ko. Tosfos points out that in Maseches Yevamos, Rabbi Yehuda's own Rebbeim, are Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva, they hold that Kriya Sayyavama is not Ma'akev the Chalitza, that the Kriya is not going to be Ma'akev. And Rabbi Yehuda apparently disagrees and yields that it is Ma'akev. So that's a little bit unusual. And not only that, obviously he holds Ma'akev because he holds that if it's not B'lashon HaKodesh, it's Ma'akev. So obviously it needs to be, in his own Rebbeim, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar hold that it's not Ma'akev at all, that the whole Kriya is not Ma'akev. So Rabbi Yehuda apparently is either disagreeing with his Rebbeim, or he has a different Misora of what his Rebbeim actually held. Anyway, V'Rabbanan, Ko Kacha, Lo Mashmalu. And the Rabbanan don't think that there's any drasha to be made from Ko Kacha. They don't think that you can make such a drasha. V'Rabbi Yehuda, Haiva, Antav, Amr, Mayavdei. Now, Rabbi Yehuda already learns from Kacha that the Kriyas Chalitza has to be B'Lashon HaKodesh. What does Rabbi Yehuda learn from the Antav, Amra? Mibay, Lelagmuri, Lelvim, the B'Lashon HaKodesh. Rabbi Yehuda learns from Nakzei Rishava that Levim, the Brachs of Klalos of Levim from Chalitza, that just like Chalitza is B'Lashon HaKodesh, so to the Brachs of Klalos half of B'Lashon HaKodesh. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda says, it's not Chalitza that we learn from there. You're right, there's a Gzeir Shavah, there's a bridge built between Chalitza and Levim and the Brachs of Klalos. But not because I already know Brachs of Klalos is B'Lashon HaKodesh, that I learn Chalitza is B'Lashon HaKodesh. It's the opposite. My Chalitza says Kacha, and I therefore learn two of the Brachos of Klalos. But Velelev called me Moshe. But didn't the Rabbanan say we already know the Brachos HaKodesh from the Lashon HaKodesh because it says call and from Moshe Rabbeinu from the Esrei Dibros? Why does Rabbi Yehuda think that that's not a good enough source? So Ania Gamer Kol Lo Gamer. He simply didn't have such a Gzer Shava, and a person cannot be done a Gzer Shava Me'atzmo. He has to be only done Gzer Shava Me'rabo. So he had a Gzer Shava of Ania Amira from Ania Amira. He did not have a Gzer Shava of Kol, and therefore he could not derive that the Brachos and Klalos were B'Lashon HaKodesh from Moshe Rabbeinu. We can only derive it from Aniyah V'Amira, from Chalitza. Tanya Namiyachi, so the Gemara brings a Raya from a Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda learns that the Brachos and Klalos were B'Lashon HaKodesh from this Gezer Rishava. Because Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Makom Shnemar, Ko, Kacha, Aniyah V'Amira, whenever it says Ko Kacha or Aniyah V'Amira, it teaches me Lashon HaKodesh. Ko Savarchu by Birchus Kohanim. Kacha de Chalitza, that it's got to be B'Lashon HaKodesh. Aniyah V'Amira de Levim. And we derive that the Levim by Harbiz Marival, that Brachos HaKodesh from B'Lashon HaKodesh from Aniyah V'Amira. Good, so you see that that's where Rabbi Yehuda derives it from. Now, we had described the Brachos and Klalos that the Levim said in Har Grizim and Har Evel, and the Mishnah went on to tell us that when the Psukim identified the location of Har Grizim and Har Evel, it really means Shechem. So the Gemara brings a Braisa, we're going to have a Machlokas Tanayim, how to interpret the data that's given to us by the Chumash about the location of Har Grizim and Har Evel. So Brachos and Klalos Ketzad, Kivin Shavu Yisol Ziyadim. So the Mishnah said that we went over the Yadin, we came to Har Grizim and Har Evel, which is the Shomron, next to Shechem, Eitzel Eleinu Mamre, Eitzel Eleinu Mora. And how do I know that? Because it says that they were Hello Hema Bevar Yardin, and it says Vayavar Avram Be'eretz Ad Mekom Shechem Ad Eleinu Mora. So Ma Eleinu Mora, that it says by Shechem, so over here also must be that it's by Shechem. So Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us, when the Torah says about the Makom of Har Grizim and Har Evel, Hello Hema Be'ever Yardin, Me'ever Yardin Ve'e it means on the western side of the Yarden, very far from the Yarden, way west of the Yarden, because Moshe was on the eastern side of the Yarden, and he says Me'ever the Yarden, he means on the western side of the Yarden, but way, way far away. That's how Rabbi Yehuda understands. Achrei Derek Mevo Hashemesh, and how do you interpret the phrase in the Chumash of Achrei Derek Mevo Hashemesh? The mountains were very far from the Makom B'Hashemesh, meaning Makom Shechama Zorachas. It's where the sun rises. The mountains were on the western side, very, very far from the east of the Yarden, where the sun shines, where the sun rises. Be'eretz HaKanani Yoshev Ba'arava, Elu Hargrizim Areval, and it's in the Ari Shomron that in Eretz HaKanani, Shiyoshim Kutiyim, where the Kutiyim live nowadays, after Sancheiriv was Mevalbel Kalumas, and he sent the Aseres HaShvatim into Galus, he brought Kutiyim to live in the Makom where the Aseres HaShvatim previously were. And then another simon it says, Mula Gilgal, HaGilgal, Samach LaGilgal. It means right near. Mul means like right across from, right in the vicinity of Gilgal. Eitzel Elenom Elone More Shechem. That's a reference to the city of Shechem. Because the Lalanu Amr by Avram Avinu says, Vayavar Avram Be'eretz Ad Mekom Shechem Ad Elon More. So Ma Elon More Ha'amr La'alon Shechem, just like by Avram Avinu meant Shechem, Safkan Shechem, also Elone More, that it says over here by the Brooks of Klalos is a reference to Shechem. So once we're told that it's a reference to Shechem, the Braisa tells us what Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi had to say in his argument with the Kutim who don't believe in Torah Shebal Peh. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, bedover zeh, on this, because of this pasuk that it doesn't say where Elonei Moreh is, ziyafti sifrei Kutim, I proved to the Kutim that their whole mahalich is incorrect. Their whole mahalich in interpreting only the Torah Shebichsav and not at all relying on any Torah Shebal Peh. Amar to them, I said to them, ziyaftem toraschem, you are mezayif your own Torah by adding words to it. V'lo elisim b'yedchem klum, you accomplish nothing by ignoring the Torah Shebal Peh. Sha'atem omrim Elonei Moreh, you say Elonei Moreh Shechem, and you say that it's Shechem. So avanamodim she'Elonei Moreh Shechem, we agree that it's Shechem, but it doesn't say it in the words. You must have some Torah Shebal Peh for that. So limadnu abigzeru shava, we use the methodologies of deriving Torah Shebal Peh. Atem b'malamantim, you reject Torah Shebal Peh. What's your basis for saying it? Meaning he's showing them that by definition you have to have some form of Torah Shebal Peh. And if you're not going to have some form of Torah Shebal Peh, so you're making it up as you go along instead of accepting our Masorah that we have that was given at Har Sinai. So Rabbi Lazar says, now going back to the topic of where exactly our Grizim and our Evil is, so Rabbi Lazar disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. And he says, nowhere near where Rabbi Yehuda says it is. Halohema be'ever Yardin, Samuch Yardin. Not at a great distance from the Yardin, right near the western edge of the Yardin. Because if it meant really far away from the Yardin, like Rabbi Yehuda says, Haloksiv Vayabavrucham as the Yardin. Pasuk says, as soon as you cross the Yardin, Takim as Havana Me'elah, Sharnochim, Mitzavah, Eschemayom, Baharabel, right away, put up these stones, put up these, and write out the Torah. So it sounds like on that day that they passed the Yardin, they set up these stones on Harevel. But if you can say that they had to travel all the way to the Shomron, they never would have gotten there in time to say the Brooks are closed. From the Yardin to the Shomron is 60 mil. So Rabbi Yehuda would say, yeah, well, it's an amazing nace that they traveled 60 mil, they did the whole thing, and then they came all the way back afterwards to Gilgal to go to sleep that night. So the whole thing was a miracle. But Rav Lazar says, no, no miracle, you got the wrong location. Achrei derech mivoa shemesh, then when the pasuk says, Achrei derech mivoa shemesh, mokom shacham shokas, it means the place of sunset, not sunrise. Be'eretz HaKanani, Eretz Chivihi. Eretz HaKanani means not where the Kutim live, it means the Eretz Chivi. Sometimes the Torah calls any of the Shiva Amimim Kanani. Hayoshev ba'arava, those who dwell in the arava, v'lo bein har mugvos ein yoshvin, but they live between the harm and the gvos. The Yarden River is surrounded by harm and gvos, and not plains. So if you can say like my shita that our grizim and our eval are close to the Yarden, why does it call it an arava? And another kasha on my own shita says Rabbi Lazar, mula Gilgal v'lo lo roes a Gilgal. Mula Gilgal sounds like it's right near Gilgal, but you don't really see Gilgal from Har Grizim and Har Evel. They're not in such close proximity to each other. So Rabbi Lazar says, I have an opinion, I just have a couple of kashas in my opinion. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov addresses those kashas on Rabbi Lazar's opinion. So we had Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that is way far from the Yarden. Rabbi Lazar was right on the other side of the Yarden. Rabbi Lazar says, I just run into some trouble with some of the phrases in Chumash. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, I'll touch up those phrases in Chumash for you. That Har Grizim Har Evel is right near the Yarden, like Rabbi Elazar says. When it says Hayoshiv Ba'arava, it was just trying to the Torah was just trying to direct Klal Yisrael the same way Hashem directed Klal Yisrael when we left Mitzrayim using the Amud HaAnan. But Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going to be there anymore when we went entered into Eretz Yisrael. It was in the zchus of Moshe that we had the Anan that led the way for us and also straightened out the path for us. So once we cross over the Yarden, we're not going to have that benefit anymore. So the Torah has to give simanim to identify for us where we're supposed to travel when we get into Eretz Yisrael. So that's why it says derech, meaning when you go into Eretz Yisrael, but derech luchu, you should go on a trodden path. Don't go through fields and vineyards. That's not going to get you where you need to go. Hayoshev be yishuv luchu v'lo b'midbaros. When you travel in Eretz Yisrael, go in a yishuv in populated towns. Do not travel in midbaros. Ba'arava luchu v'lo bar mugvos. Travel on flat areas. Don't go into mountains and valleys that are near the Yarden. Go to the land on the western side, far from the Yarden, and you'll be able to go and you'll conquer the land that way. The Marsha asked, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov didn't answer the kasha of Mul HaGilgal, and that they're not able to see the Gilgal. So the Marsha says that must also be there to show them the path that they should travel near Gilgal and not a simon of the Makom of Har Grizim and Har Evel. So that's the basic machlokas. Tomorrow we'll pick up with the discussion of how exactly we crossed the Yarden, what the details were of the crossing of the Yarden. Everyone have a wonderful day.